specific things of projects that we do, so that we can come back at you at the end of the year or the first of the year and share with you what your giving of your time, your effort, your heart, your money, what it accomplished. I think in a lot of churches, in a lot of places, people have a sense that their money that they give and their time and their effort and their prayers don't accomplish a lot. And I just want to kind of share with you, I can't share with you everything because it just doesn't come to mind, and time is another issue. But I want to share with you some of the things that we accomplished this last year. Our motto or our vision statement for this church is reach up, reach in, reach out. That's what we do. Everything that we do in this church centers around a reach up, a reach in, or a reach out. And sometimes they're all three in one. Sometimes they're two in one. But we try to design everything that we do around those three principles. We're either reaching up to God, we're reaching in to one another through discipleship and fellowship, or we're reaching out to the community and the world as an outreach. And that's basically what Jesus told us to do. He says in the Great Commissions, one of them, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say make converts. He didn't say make believers. He said make disciples. And that is really a challenge. There's a lot of people who will pray the prayer, but they don't go beyond praying the prayer. They're kind of like fans, but they never really commit their whole lives. And God is after all of you. That's what He wants. He wants all of you. And that's the way that it works the best, is when He has your whole heart. If He has half a heart, have you ever seen somebody that just gives a half-hearted effort at something? You know, and what happens in sports when you give a half-hearted effort? You get beat, don't you? You get drummed. What happens on the job when you give a half-hearted effort? You don't accomplish much, do you? So what happens in the kingdom of God when we're just half-hearted? We don't accomplish much, do we? That's not what God is after. We ought to be after maximum effort with maximum results. And I believe that's what God wants to do. First of all, I want to talk about our reach-up. And something that is very important to us is our connection to God. We believe that unless we, first of all, reach up, none of the other things will work like they're supposed to. In fact, there are a lot of movements that are reach-out movements, that they're secular movements and even spiritual movements that are reach-out movements, but they're not too concerned about the reach-up. And we define that as in the church area as the social gospel. And I believe that we ought to be reaching out, but the reason that we should reach out is to connect people to God, is to show people what God is like. Everything that we do should reflect the character and the nature of God. And that begins with us being connected to God in the reach up. And, you know, we do that through our worship service, our teaching, our praise and worship that we do in this church. That is part of our reach up. I have seen God through the years do incredible things through people's lives in the praise and worship. We don't do praise and worship in this church for number one, your entertainment. We, you know, people say, well, you know, I go to some places and it looks like a show. This is not a show here. We don't do things for show. And we don't do things to just entertain you. And we don't just do it to take up time singing, just so that we can sing. But we do it, and we believe that God inhabits the praises of His people. So every week as we come together in this service, we feel like it is a connection to God. It is encountering the living God. You know, a lot of our activities in the week, on the job place and out in your regular life, sometimes it's very, very difficult to feel connected to God because there are so many things pulling at you, so many things trying to drain you, trying to drain the life out of you. But I believe that when you can come together and you can reach up to God in a worship atmosphere, that it can do things to your heart that will sustain you in your daily life. In fact, what we would love for you to do is to have times in your everyday life that you worship God in some kind of expression of song or meditating on the Word or something like that that gives you the connection to God that rejuvenates you for your daily life. See, we believe the church is not something that you go to. I would love to get out of our vocabulary is go to church, and get into our vocabulary is be the church. Because you say, are we going to go to church today? Why don't we just come and be the church? And when we leave, we're still the church. Everywhere we are, we're the church. And we need to get that connection as going to church, as going to the meeting, to the assembling. And the assembling of ourselves together is something that's very important. But the greater concept is becoming the church. Through our everyday lives, through our jobs, through being parents, through being husbands and wives and friends and neighbors and good citizens, everything ought to be designed around the concept of being the church, not a place that we go to, but a thing that we are. One of the things that we saw this last year, since we're reflecting, one of the things that we saw is, and I don't have the numbers on this, but I wished I did, are the salvations and the baptisms that we have. A startling statistic that I have seen is that there are a majority of churches who had zero conversions and zero baptisms. We had multiple conversions and multiple baptisms. And I thank God for that. And I believe that part of that has to do with the way that we approach ministry here. We approach ministry in the fact that we are very open and accepting of people where they're at. We try to connect them to God through the worship experience and the practical teaching of the Word of God that you can apply in your life on a daily basis. And I believe that has brought some people into the kingdom of God. I don't believe that you bring people into the kingdom of God by condemning people. Most people condemn themselves enough as it is. And most people know that they're doing wrong. There's some know that they don't know that they're doing wrong. But I know that if they'll come in an atmosphere where they are loved and accepted where they are, that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes. The Holy Spirit will reach out to them and they will be convicted and convinced and brought into the kingdom of God. And the lifestyle change will take place. And I, you know, part of that happens as a natural thing as we reach up to God. When we become honestly sincere as a church in reaching up to God in our personal lives and in the corporate worship, God does something miraculous with people who come in who don't know God. So what we do in this place is important. What we do in the public assembly is something that's very important. And I tell you, I just want to say that I appreciate our worship team a whole lot. I really, I was talking to my buddy Nick, who helped us last Sunday. Ashley was out having babies, and some of you were gone on Christmas stuff. And Nick come in, and he told me, he says, you know, I've been a lot of places, and, you know, there's not any place that I know of that has the kind of worship that you have here. He says, there was in Memphis, there was a big church that had something like that. And you know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the dedication that people on the worship team have to have in order to do what they do. You can't be half-hearted about worship. and for it to work. Otherwise, you can get professionals and they can put on a show, but we're not interested in the show. We're interested in connecting to God in worship. And I appreciate our worship team and our media arts team that do things like this. That just, all that does, that doesn't bring in the presence of God at all. But what it does, it affects you. It creates an atmosphere where you feel more comfortable. And that's what the media arts do. And all of the things that we do through the videos and... It has its place in what we're trying to do in connecting people to God in the reach up. See, you can't reach up without reaching out. It's just an impossible thing. These things are so intertwined together. Reach up, reach in, reach out. They're so intertwined together. I want to talk a little bit about the reach in that we do. First of all, I want to talk about life groups and the importance that we put on life groups in this church. We have 10 life groups, and that's not enough. We need a lot more. We have 10 life groups, and their thing is to create community within the church. It's impossible to have community in the public gathering. When you get beyond 10 or 12 people, your community starts... It's just very difficult. But in smaller groups, you can develop relationships. You can develop friendships. You can develop care for each other. You can develop so many things. And it opens the door for discussion of things. So we do study, we do community, and we do outreach through our life groups. And in a minute, I'm going to share in our reach out some of the things that we did through our corporately as a body, and also as life groups. We also do step studies as a reach in this church. Now, what are step studies? Now, let me tell you what you think step studies are. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think this, you're mistaken. Step studies, those are the things that the alcoholics and the drug addicts do. Wrong. Say it again. Wrong. Say it with me. Wrong. Now, we work it through Celebrate Recovery. Did you know Celebrate Recovery is not just for alcoholics and drug addicts? It's for people with hurts. Anybody here had any hurts in their lives? Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah. Let's see about this one. Habits? Let's see that. And how about hang-ups? Okay. Now, how many of you that raised your hands have not had a problem with drugs or alcohol? Let me see. See, and step studies are for people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Now, some people's habits is alcohol and drugs, and everything else that goes along with that, that is a result of that, are led to the substance abuse. And every Thursday night, we have a women's step study that meets here. And beginning pretty soon, we're going to have a men's step study that's going to meet on Wednesday nights here at the church. So in this last year, we had 11 people who graduated step studies. Step studies is a one-year commitment that people work through the steps and they deal with their lives. They deal with their hurts, habits, and hang-ups and the things that are behind those things. And let me say, most of the people who work through these step studies have never had a problem with drugs and alcohol. Some of them had relationship issues. Some of them had some other issues in their life. But they use these step studies to improve their lifestyles. And so that is something that we have been doing for, what, how many years now, Jason? Three years we've been doing step studies. Also this last year, we did 3 fish fries. We did a float trip. We did a hog roast. We did hikes. We did different things where people can connect with things that they have in common. Now, these are reach-ins. These are fellowship. These are discipleship. See, life groups and step studies are designed for discipleship. But we also need fellowship. had a lady tell me one time years ago, she hadn't been to church here in a long time. And I asked her one time, I says, are you going to come to our fellowship supper? We were small enough back then at the old church that we could do fellowship suppers. So those were one of our big reach-ins. She stuck her nose up in there and says, I do not do carnal activity. How many of you know that fellowship is not carnal activity? Did you know that bad relationships corrupt character? Did you know that good relationships improves character? Because iron sharpens iron, and we need those things in our lives where iron is sharpening iron. You need other Christians in your life that you can do things with outside of the church service, outside of other things like going on a hike together. You'd be surprised what you know about somebody hiking with them or on a float trip. I mean, you know if they tip over, if they cuss, you know they got a problem. Well, anyway, you learn things about people. Okay, I want to talk about reach out, and we got to move fast because I'm being long-winded. But we do several things in this church that have to do with reach out. And I am amazed at how much outreach that we do. Number one, one of our biggest outreaches is Celebrate Recovery. And it is a program, it's a Christian 12-step program that helps people who have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Now, a lot of people who are involved in that have had alcohol and drug issues. We even have the courts that are working with us now that are sending people in drug court to our Celebrate Recovery. Amen. We have favor in the courts here. We have other organizations. DHS sends us people to Celebrate Recovery. We have made a positive impact in our area where Celebrate Recovery is concerned. Now, Celebrate Recovery is a wonderful nationwide outreach that started out of Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Church. And you can go on the website and you can see about Celebrate Recovery. But we have helped a lot of people who do not have drug and alcohol problems. They have relationship problems. They have other issues. And it has helped them so much. We average people, adults, children, everything, somewhere between 60 and 90 people every Friday night here at the church. And, you know, if you've got issues that you would like to deal with, I would encourage you to come to Celebrate Recovery. It's a wonderful issue. Yeah, but that's for the druggies. What's that word we used a while ago? Wrong. It's for people who are in recovery. How many of you know that if you've had a divorce, you have to recover from the hurt? If you've lost a child or you've lost a loved one, and you're grieving, how many of you know that you have to recover? If you've had an addiction to pornography or some other kind of issue, and you're trying to deal with that, how many of you know that that's a habit just like drug and alcohol, and you have to recover from that? So recovery has been a term that's been used only about drugs and alcohol, but it has to do with life. Can I say this? We're all in recovery. We have to recover from the fact that we were once sinners, that we were separated from God by our sin. And I have seen that the 12-step program is a spiritual program of recovery, no matter what it is that you're dealing with in life. So we use that every Friday night. Almost, we might miss, one or two weeks a year. I mean, last year, Christmas was on Friday. They had Celebrate Recovery. You know why? Because that's the hardest time for people who have had addictions because of loneliness, because of lifestyle in the past, that they use holidays and things like to do the things that they do. We were open that night so that people could come and have a place of positive fellowship. That's a reach out. That's a reach out. So we do celebrate recovery. Let me share you some of the events that we did as reach outs last year. We did a dessert auction last year and raised $1,100 for the Christian Health Clinic. We also did a July 4th, what do we call that, party here at the church. We did. We fed food. We cooked. We brought in blow-up games. We had fireworks. We had somewhere between 500 and 800 people show up for that. Last year, we did youth camp. We sent 20 of our youth, and I'm talking about teenagers, to youth camp. We did church camp last year. We went to a different church camp last year, and we had 85 kids, 50 adults, and we baptized 19 people. Now, there's churches who go 20 years and don't baptize that many people. And I'm not trying to brag on us. I'm just telling you what's happening, how God is using this church to reach people. Last year, we do a youth conference that we send our kids to. It's called Genesis. In fact, they're going to go next month to Genesis. Our kids like that. We sent 40 to 45 teenagers to Genesis last year. A lot of that you helped sponsor. And you know what? I saw the difference in the teenagers when they came back. We did a biker awareness Sunday last year where we invited the local bikers to come in and then we fed them a meal after the service. This is one of our reach out. We did our harvest party. This is something that we've done for years. We move all the stuff out here, bring games in the fellowship hall. We have games and we have blow up rides and we give away tons of candy. We had somewhere between 400 and 500 people show up. It was amazing. This place was just working live. And then last year, we connected with Never Thirst, which is a overseas outreach. And we did 3 wells. I want to show you some pictures here. This is one of the wells that we did. I got some information on it here. This one of them was in, I can't pronounce it, it's in India, Kakapatur. India. In these countries, they don't have clean water. And the water that they do have is diseased. And we were able to, in this village, dug this well, and 400 people now have clean water. That's one of the things that we did last year. The next place is a well that we did in Regala, India. There's 223 people in this village who now have clean water. Now, let me give you a face that goes with this that just shows you what this is all about. When I saw that picture, that's in one of those villages that we supported. That's a young boy that won't die from some waterborne disease because you gave last year. And you know what's more exciting? And we just got through with our campaign this last year, and we'll be reporting on this as it comes. We got 10 wells this next year that we're going to do. I got news just the other day from Spencer Sutton. Last year, we also sponsored a well in the Sudan. Now, there's been a lot of things going on in the Sudan. I don't have any picture for this, but I just got this last week. In fact, this whole country is at war, and they couldn't bring the cameras in. But this is in South Kordofan. We just got word that our well there was successful. I don't have any details on how many people are in that village or what, but that village now has clean water, and that's because you gave year before last, and it came in this last year. Also, share some other things that has happened this last year. Ooh, let me get my ducks in a row here. Lots of stuff. We did a church-wide car wash this last year, and we did it in 3 spots. We expanded it. We did a car wash in Westside. We did one in Southside, and we did one in Cave City. We got some pictures to show you. This is at Southside. See, Nancy, was that Nancy Duncan up in the back of that truck? Holy moly. That's either Allie or Nancy. That's Sherry Van Etten. Okay. Y'all must be twins or something. There's Allie and Sierra. That's at Westside. You see Jason's looking. He's not washing. There's DJ washing. There we go. Over at Westside. There's another. That's still at Westside. That was our big one there. We had a lot of cars. We also fed people as we did that. You see me drinking water back there, and I'm not washing either. This one's in Cave City. You're going to see somebody working there that looks familiar. Look up there. There's Donald Wilkes working. And he's retired. Cave City. So we washed 175 cars in about, what, 3 hours last year? We fed people. We gave away food. We didn't take any money. We didn't take any donations. We were just saying to the communities, God bless you. God loves you. And it was, but the most wonderful thing that happened in that is what happened in you as you participated in that. Something that you didn't get any monetary reward for. In fact, some of you gave in order to do it. But just the joy of serving our communities. Now, we're going to do, we may do a bigger one this next year. We may go to Ash Flat and do the ones that we did before. We're looking at this as an annual outreach that we have, sowing love into the communities that we want to reach. Also, this is not our ministry, but really it is in a way, is the Christian Health Clinic. It's a separate entity from us, but we have hosted this clinic for, what, 2 years now? And I'm glad to say that they have bought a building and will be going into their own building before long. But our giving to them, not necessarily financially, probably last year saved them about $8,000 in us providing them a facility and also the fact that what they saved in utilities and building payment. You did. See, that's part of what your giving does, whether it's through tithes and offerings or your special offerings to the Christian Health Clinic. What we do is making an effect. And let me tell you a little bit about what they're doing. And I got to hurry because we've got a long way to go. They fill probably somewhere between 200 and 300 prescriptions every month. They see somewhere between 50 and 75 people that get to see the doctor every month. This place is packed. The parking lot is packed, and there's people seeing the doctor that normally wouldn't be able to see a doctor. Also, last year, we helped three of our young people take a missions trip. Candace Fitzner, Courtney Brazier, and Ariel Moss. Last year, were able to go on mission trips, and we raised most of the money to do that. And besides that, our benevolence that we did, that's just people who walk in and people in the church who need help. I don't even know how much money we gave last year, but it was thousands and thousands of dollars. Here's one of the big things that we did last year's outreach is there was a lady on Westside who had a hole in her roof. I want you to look at that. How would you like for that to be your roof? I mean, there was a cat that was living in her roof that crawled in through the hole in her roof. And we raised the money. Some of the people in our church, a couple of our life groups and Celebrate Recovery, they got together and they bought the tent, and there it is after they got done with it. Put a brand new roof on the lady's house. It's just part of what our outreach is all about. We have an ongoing food drive for the Hellfighters, which is a local Christian motorcycle group. We did a cleaning supply drive for New Life Children's Home at Oil Trough. We collected food and clothing for a needy family. We did the West Side food outreach 3 or 4 times where they would just set up on West Side and give out hot dogs, and they did chili, and is it either 3 or 4 times that we set up on West Side and gave away food. Some of them even stuck money in the sacks, $20 bills and $100 bills. They put in the sack to just bless people over on West Side. We raised money through one of our life groups for the pregnancy center in Ash Flat. See, this is not just a Batesville church. This is the church that's going to reach out to this whole area. We want to be a blessing everywhere. We unloaded pumpkins for Hope Lutheran. One of our life groups after church went down there and just unloaded pumpkins for Faith Lutheran. Got some more pictures. One of our life groups poured a sidewalk. This was for the Alzheimer's unit. The Alzheimer's unit couldn't walk over that because they would trip and fall. So we took all of that out and we poured a sidewalk in there. Also, we made flower beds for them. I think we got, there's a couple folks getting the flower beds ready. It's money that we got together and raised and paid for. It's an outreach to our community. Also, they did a movie night for the New Life Children's Home. We built a ramp for a disabled man. We did yard care for 2 different families. Here's one that I'm really proud of that we just did in the last few weeks. We sent 28 boxes for Christmas to Afghanistan. And we'll have some pictures probably sometime this month that they got those, and those soldiers were thrilled. You know what they liked the best? Well, they liked socks, but they loved the letters that you put in there to encourage them and thank them. So there was 20-something soldiers. We sent 28 boxes over there. You did that. You worked together, and you did that. Each life group helped with that. We took fruit to the nursing home. We visited 2 assisted living centers and sang Christmas carols. We gave 3.5 cars away this last year. That's pretty cool, isn't it? There are some folks in the community that needed cars, and a couple in the church, and we helped them get cars. We did an outreach through Habitat for Humanity where we went and fed the workers. We helped move a disabled lady that needed help doing that. Wow. Let me tell you some of the ministries that we support on a monthly basis. See, we don't talk about this a lot. This is why I wanted to take a Sunday and talk about what we do as a church. Here's some of the ministries that we do and support. Number one, Celebrate Recovery. Luke 4:18. The Christian Health Clinic of Batesville and Heber Springs. Watoto Children. By the way, we're having Watoto Children Choir this year. Family Violence. Batesville Help and Hope. John 3:16, Terry Roark Prison Ministry, Alpha Pregnancy Center, Association of Related Churches, where there are church planters, Dale Cohen, Larry Smith, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Batesville Area Ministers Fellowship Benevolence Fund, Ecclesia College, and there are some other ones that we support on a monthly basis. Lots of outreach that has gone on. Reach up, reach in, reach out. We'll talk a little bit about the new year, and then I got to close. We're going to do some things this year. We're going to start with Not a Fan, and I've already talked about that. On Wednesday nights, we're starting a men's step study group. Now, let me tell you what we're going to start doing, and we're going to kind of do this semi-gradually. We may cut it pretty quick, but we're going to move away from just a traditional Wednesday night service, and we're going to do some specialty stuff. And one of those things that we're going to do is we're going to do a Thursday night men's fraternity. We did it before on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. We're going to do a Thursday night men's fraternity. This year, we've already done year one. It's a 4-year program. And we're in year 2. And this year's study is a 16-week study. It's called Winning at Work and at Home. Let me tell you some of the subject. A Man in His Mirrors. What Men Need to Know About Women. That's why it's 16 weeks. Engaging your women successfully, staying close to the woman you love, improving your sex life, how a man makes money work at home, the good life and where to find it, what every dad needs to know, dad's game plan for raising sons and daughters, maximum parenting, a man and his work, and so on and so forth. We're going to offer those on Thursday nights beginning January the 19th. I hope this next year to do a women's study called The New Eve. And I don't have all the particulars on that yet, but it's the same guy who wrote Men's Fraternity wrote this book about women. And it deals with some of the opposite things here that we talked about there. I want to do Chris. We finally have got Chris out of school. He's got his master's in, what's it called? Marriage and Family Therapy. How many of you think in America today that we have marriage and family problems? Okay? A lot of those are caused by drugs and alcohol and selfishness and all of those kind of things. What I want to be able to do is offer at times during the year short deals on marriage, raising children, relationship issues, and many, many other things. If you have suggestions on things that you would like to do studies on, then let us know and we'll see if we can find some of those things that we can do. Finances. But what we want to do, can I honestly just say this? And I don't say this in any condemning way whatsoever. But we have had way too much divorce in this church. Way too much. One is too many. But we have had way too much. And we have to invest part of what we do in strengthening families, strengthening them and causing them to be stronger. We've seen too many kids get in trouble. We need principles on how to raise our children the way that they should be. So I want to be able to focus on some of those things. I want to be able to do some leadership training. I know that in dealing with people, it just raises whole new issues of things that a generation ago we didn't have to deal with. Some of them are like sexual issues. And honestly, church leaders need some training on some of those kind of issues and how to handle some of those issues. But, you know, I want to be able to offer those for our leaders, for our life group leaders, for our staff, and for anybody who's interested in that, in becoming a leader. So we're going to begin to phase away from just a traditional Wednesday night service, and we're going to start branching out and try to offer some things this next year. I want to continue to do all of the outreach that we can do. I want this to be an engaged church. This is a church that you can be active in. This is a church that you can find expression. And the greatest way that you can do that is through a life group. It's through a life group. It's through some kind of group. I want to move us away from the mentality of just going to church. Because most people just go to church on Sunday morning and their life after that is totally, it's not like they don't live good or anything like that, but we don't think like the church. I want us to become the church. I want that to just incorporate through our whole lives. It just changes when we think differently about it. We don't think of the church as a place. We think of it as us. And I think that's what we have to change in America. If we're ever going to see revival, if we're ever going to see God do something big in our midst, we're going to have to change the way that we think about church. Amen? All right, stand with me. It's time to go. Praise God. Well, there's the believer's timeline. There's the believer's report. That is what you accomplished this last year. And I think it would be proper before we leave this service today is to give God a good hand for enabling us to do that. Can we do that together? Let's just give. Now what I'd like for you to do as you're dismissed, turn around to somebody and give them a high five and say, good job. Can you do that? Good job. You're dismissed.